Hello and welcome to episode 142 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined as always by Bronell and Harv. And on this episode, we have our second ever three-time guest and co-host for this episode. Brennan Little is joining us. So Brennan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem. Appreciate it. Be fun.
Yeah. So, we're going to get into a lot of stuff. The last time you were on, you're part of the Roundtable 2.0. So we had a good chat then. We got into it on Colin Morikawa. So we're going to talk about that again for sure. We're going to recap our weeks as well, we always do. We didn't have a tournament last week. We had the match, the latest gimmick going on with the match. We're going to recap a little bit of that. But before we get into all that, we want to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DriveTheGreen. And remember the Saskatchewan Podcast Network, proudly presented by Kinexus. So, Butchie, we'll get to your week and past few months here in a little bit. But wanted to touch on the boys. So we'll go through it quick because we obviously want to catch up with you more than people want to listen to us talk about our last week. But booze count for me, light week this week. A casual 10. So 10 and 7, not bad.
That might be your lightest week in 5 months.
No, I've had some light weeks, but yeah, 10's kind of the norm for November. So
wasn't Saturday a heavy day or?
No, that Friday? Was the only day. That was the only day. Saturday was
Are those beers or drinks?
They're drinks, but pretty much for this
he's
year.
He's pretty loose with what, like, Radler's 0.5. Like, he doesn't count the heavy ones as two, but he counts the lights as half. So it's trying to show he's not that big an alcoholic.
Yeah, today is November 29th or November 30th, and I'm at 683 for the year. So
what's the goal?
We're shooting for 800. Yeah. So
683 for 800.
Yeah.
So $1.17 a month. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. $1.17. I was doing some math trying to get ahead of it here. And, I put on 123 in August. So it's just, it's a holiday season. So pretty much just the summer. So we'll get into it. I'm sure I'll make it. I've been mentally preparing. This is what we work for all year. So, here we are. That's my week. I didn't do a whole lot. You boys?
Those new COVID announces really changed my week. I had a bunch of hockey camps lined up on the weekend and the new announcement shut those right down. So just sat on my thumb all weekend and watched football Sunday and that's about it.
Yeah. Not much going on now. We're
kind of in a lockdown up here now.
Yeah. We're getting there. So, and we'll get into Mayakoba, where Butchie's down in Mexico right now on an empty resort. So we'll get into that here in a second.
Yeah. Mine was quick. I'm still working from home full time now. So I'm making like simmer meals every day. Like I'm making a jambalaya tomorrow. It's just the best. finally got the Christmas lights up.
Nice.
I'm lucky to be here tonight. Let's put it that way. There was snow on the roof and there was a couple times where it was,
well, I'm sure you were tied off.
It was the roof route, not the ladder route.
We've had this
discussion
time
before.
If you want to save time, almost didn't make it.
Yeah, you put Christmas lights on from the roof. You don't get a ladder because there's too much movement there. You risk not falling off, but you can fall off a ladder too.
I guess
it's the same.
But that slope with snow on it and like kind of melty ice, bad combo.
All right, so Bruno's room ball shoes on
with sneakers.
Yes, golf season shut down up there for you guys, eh?
Oh yeah,
it's a sore spot.
Our last day was October 17th, something like that. So we're into it. We're fully into it, and then you can barely, with the COVID restrictions, you can get out to indoor golf right now, but you can only have four people on a sim. Not that you wouldn't really want a whole lot more, but it's just restrictions are pretty much the point now where you don't even want to go out. So we're completely shut down. Can't even golf anymore. So tell us about you. It's been 4 months since Roundtable 2.0. What have you been up to lately?
What have I been doing? I've been working a little bit. I've been working a little bit. Time off. But with the COVID and the time off, I've kind of been going probably played more golf in the last 6 months than I've played in about 10 years.
Wow.
Can you hear it? Okay. Sorry. It looks like, so I've been playing tons of golf, kind of working on my game, joined a club, fishing a lot, you know, hanging out. The kids have some sports here and there. Watching a little high school football, a little college football, just enjoying myself.
Yeah, that's good. And then coming off, couple weeks ago here, you're at Augusta. What number triple for you was that at Augusta?
I don't know what number. My first year was 2000. I missed a few, probably 17, 16, 17, 18.
Right.
It's not bad. So
very different.
Yeah, like we're curious to get you on here and see your
very
thoughts
different
on
this
the
year.
Difference.
Course. Well, first of all, the course wasn't as good as it always is just because of the time of year.
Yeah.
The overseed had been really warm. So with the Bermuda grass and when they overseed, it didn't totally fill in. So there was some patchy areas, which you never see at Augusta. Greens were really good, but much softer than normal. It did have a lot of rain early in the year, but I think at that time of year, too, with the overseed and as much water, they kept them much softer. Yeah. So much easier than it normally plays, especially around the greens.
Did Gary's game plan change at all? Like everyone talked about how Bryson was going to do all this stuff with that wet conditions and them going in knowing it was going to be a little different. Did it change how he played this one versus how he's going to play in April?
Yeah, the golf course played obviously different and the game plan did change a bit. You needed to be a little more aggressive. There was a lot of areas around the greens where normally you can't get it up and down. Whereas this year you could get it up and down. So it's a little bit of a change mentally just because you're so used to hitting it in certain spots or missing it in certain spots. And you had to be a little more aggressive.
Yeah. Did you find with no fans, we kind of talked about it, that some of the misses were they're a little bit easier, or was it really didn't really matter as far as, you know, fans versus no fans, knocking balls down, anything like that? Did you find there was it played differently that way as well?
Or just I think more? It was probably easier in most places. Yeah. Because when you'd miss it into the fans, for instance, on number two, if you blew it all the way up the right, which a lot of guys do to give you the angle, that was all nice, like decent grass now, as opposed to people stepping on it. And especially this year, it would have been nasty with all the rain. Where the people walk, it gets muddy. So obviously the people didn't stop it on certain holes, which hurt, but the grass was much nicer everywhere. You know, there was no walkways. You don't have the muddy area. So that's definitely, it was a benefit to the guys.
Yeah. Do you typically were many guys sticking around? Like would you stick around for something like that? You know, obviously Gary didn't have the success that he wanted to, but,
no.
You're out of there, hey?
Yeah, 17, I'm out of there.
17 years, you're out of there.
Yeah, I don't stick around very often, to be honest with you. I don't think many guys do.
Yeah.
So you're traveling enough that, yeah. I mean, the players, if you play, if we played on a Sunday, we were like an hour from the end and one of my buddies was caddying or a guy that I liked was winning, I might stick around there.
Right.
Or at a major. Mm-hmm. But generally, you're out of there as soon as you can.
Yeah, for sure. Do you guys, you know, right after that, did you kind of game plan or already game planning around 2021 or kind of?
Really. We spent a little time last week down in Sea Island. Gary's teacher's down in Sea Island. Mm-hmm. So he's had some injuries over the last few months. He's kind of feeling better now. So we went and spent a day down there in Sea Island, just kind of getting things in check. And after this, there'll be 6 weeks off. So
we'll
kind of.
Did Gary get you on the same diet he's on or?
No, we're getting him a little bulked back up. He got a little too thin there and kind of threw the game off
Duvall
a bit.
Style almost.
Yeah, he got a little too skinny, but you know, it happened. When he had 3 months, whatever it was, 3 months there, he was working out and eating a little better than normal. So you know how it goes. I guess you don't if you're on 800 count, but yeah.
It's crazy to me how that much that can affect your game, and it does. Like it's been proven over the years to affect certain, like a lot of guys.
Yeah, it really does. You know, we were just talking about this last week because he's always been a very, very consistent ball striker. You know, in the old days, it was his chipping, his putting. His chipping and putting have improved over the last 3-4 years stat wise. His other stats have gone down, and he's just never really not hit the ball. Like he's had weeks where he doesn't hit it well, or maybe a couple weeks, but he doesn't really change much in his long game, and he always kind of is a good ball striker. And I think talking with his coach and a couple of guys, it definitely had something to do with the weight and the balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to really see from the outside, but they're definitely, by the results, you could tell the way he's hit it.
Yeah, we discussed that. Obviously, we follow you and on Gary's Bag, and when we saw that, we kind of noticed it, and it was just, well, it's hard not to notice it, but you always wonder with those guys that go over, you know, those changes, it's like, is it going to affect them too much? So you had mentioned last week he was in Sea Island last couple of weeks here. You're down in Mexico at Mayacoba this week. How is he feeling? How are you feeling about the week? I mean, there's you say you're on a resort across the street and there's no one there. So, I mean, from a mental perspective, that's got to be pretty good to just have the resort to yourself.
It's great too. You know, I live in Dallas and the weather's been amazing up until this week. This week's going to be a bad week. So it was great to get out of there. It was getting cold.
Yeah.
We all had the drug test. You know, we flew in today at a drug test. They said, how about COVID? Well, landed same today thing. About noon, went over to the course and COVID tested, and I still don't have my results. So let's hope I'm able to work this week.
Oh, but, yeah.
I'm excited. He's always played well here. Yeah. It's a good course for him. The times that he has played, he's played well. And, you know, we got things straightened out a little bit last week. So I'm looking forward to this week.
Good. Good. Well, hopefully you can, or else Gary might have to give Toucan a call.
Yeah, he might. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see a few guys test positive this week with Thanksgiving last week. And
right.
You know, we'll see. The test this week was terrible too. Like, it was normally they put that little small thing in the way up your nose. They had a huge Q-tip. Then they stuck it in your throat. It was like, boy, oh boy, give us a break.
Yeah, go last
week
time.
Of the year. Oh.
Nose to throat or throat to nose or different Q-tip?
Different Q-tip.
Okay.
It kind of felt like it was all in one. Just keep going a little further. Yeah, who knows where it'll end up.
Both at the same time. So are you, I don't know if we've ever asked you this before. Are you a Cowboys fan then?
No, believe it or not, I'm a Redskin fan.
Oh, right.
Which doesn't go.
Football team.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Washington Football Club. I have been my whole life. So yeah, well, it's not the greatest living in Dallas, but, you know.
Told you guys there were other football team fans.
Yeah, we actually thought Harv was the only football team fan. So.
No, one of my good buddies is too. There's a few of them.
Oh, three of us now. Look out.
Yep.
Yeah, so, hopefully this thing works out. Did you have a chance? We're going to talk a little bit about, since there's no tournament on the match this week, did you have a chance to soak some of that in, or was that something you had no interest in?
You know what, if I was around, I would have. I played golf, though.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what was on. I'd read something in the morning, but we had a tee time we played, and then I went back in, and we got done. I saw maybe two holes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Barkley hit it in the crap and Phil had to play it out of there. But there was no volume on and there was some football on. So Phil won, didn't he?
Yeah.
They were three or four up when I saw it.
Yeah. Like it was entertaining. Harv doesn't think it's all that entertaining. I thought this was probably one of the better ones. Charles is a good guy to have on those types of shows. I think Steph was, you know, being a scratch golfer plus one handicap, I mean, he played like shit, so naturally when you do something like that, you're not too keen on having cameras on you. So I think it kind of hurt it that way a little bit. They fell behind real early, but I mean, Charles and the crew and bringing constant people on to just drive the knife in them, I think I like this one. I don't know about you guys.
I loved it.
I didn't
actually
watch it. It was stupid.
Yeah, Harv doesn't.
I don't like any of those four guys. So there's no point in me watching it. And I don't know. It seems like they're trying too hard on these now to me. Like, this was just like, yeah, trying way too hard. What I would watch is 2 versus 2 PGA golfers, but they make it like Iron Man style. So like illegal pins, tees all the way back, ridiculous rough. But it's a scramble match. So now, like,
that's a one good
guy
idea.
Fairway, the other guy, let's see Woodland lace into one as hard as he can because the other guy's in the fairway. Like, let's see these pros show off the stuff that they're holding back on the course, like in a tournament.
Mm.
Like, that's something I would watch, to see them try ridiculous shots to ridiculous pins and pull them.
Scramble format would make it interesting for sure.
Yeah. And I think where this specific match kind of fell short was they had Phil, professional golfer, with a 25 handicap against two, single digit handicap guys. And everyone knows in this scenario that the professional, the low handicap, just needs a few shots from the other guy and they're going to roll them. And that's exactly what happened. They got away from him early, and it was almost like they were just giving them holes after that.
Yeah, like, Phil gave them like a 20 footer for bogey on the one hole. Just
let's not gloss over that. Apparently Phil Mickelson, even though I don't like him, one of the greatest golfers of all time, was only gave Steph Curry four strokes.
He was a plus five, listed as a plus five, and Curry was a plus one. And he would have beat Curry by 15 at least. Like, it would have been like,
if Curry played great, he's probably still beating him by seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's not enough if they only gave him that many strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave Charles, I think, one every hole. And then, but then they,
wow, they didn't give strokes at all. It was just modified alternate.
Yeah, it was really weird how they had it set up, and then it was like they were trying to find the best possible way to not have Phil run the entire thing, and that's exactly what happened.
Charles talked the entire time.
Yeah, Charles just had to hit the fairway, and then Phil could hit the approach shot, and they would for sure be par. And then these other two guys, if both of them missed, they were screwed. So anytime they missed the fairway, they were toast.
Because that course was playing tough, like the greens were.
Was it an alternate shot?
Yeah, it was modified. So both guys drove, and then they took the best and alternated in from there.
But they didn't even take the best because they just take Charles so Phil could hit the second shot every time.
Yeah. So.
I see. That makes sense.
Bit of a flaw.
Curry smiling when he was losing like he does in the NBA too.
Dancing.
Dancing and smiling. Hey, you're down 50.
Yeah.
So he was doing that?
So, yeah. I mean, ideas for the next one, I think the two versus two. Butchie, what do you think about that? Do you think there would be guys on the PGA Tour that if they had, the Iron Man style two versus two, that it would be a watchable thing?
Yeah, I think getting tour players, especially when there's downtime, I think that's a good idea. I'm not much for, I don't mind the skins if it's actual, or these matches if it's actual. And it can be somewhat competitive. The one-on-one, the Tiger Phil, or next, but 2-on-2 would be fun.
Yeah, I think, like you say, it's got to be actual golf. It's, it can't necessarily be a gimmick style round. It's like four guys competing, and competing in a way that's not like the PGA Tour is. You see it more than any of those guys in practice rounds, things like that.
Put the pins in crazy spots.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people would watch
put the pins in crazy spots, make the rough deep, make it 7,800.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Just watching them, because they can hit those shots. I mean, you've probably seen Gary do that in practice rounds, messing around all the time, but they hold off or play the safer shot in a tournament because you don't want to put the big X on the card or whatever, but
don't put Bryson in the match and should be good.
Why don't we do it up in Saskatoon?
Yeah,
sounds good.
There'd be all sorts of different things that those pros aren't used to. Fairways with no grass on them. And
do it in the winter, snow everywhere. That'd be great.
40 mile an hour winds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get. We'll get into some of kind of the news stuff. I guess what do we want to talk about first, boys?
Oh, what was this Morikawa talk you guys are going
to... We want to get into it right now. We want to get to the real reason why we're here. So obviously last week, I threw it out to the masses that just so happened Colin Morikawa is 256th in the PGA Tour in shots gained putting this year. Granted, only four tournaments, so a small sample size. And then I said, hopefully Butchie's listening because he's not putting well. He's not doing well. Didn't putt well at the Masters, didn't do well at the Masters. Well, sure enough, the man himself sent me a message saying, well, I guess I'm coming back on the pod. and here we are. So I just find it very, very coincidental that we had that conversation and 2 weeks later, he's the PGA champion.
And I'm going to give you a little bit of credit here because I did go over his stats, and you're right. The putting is a little shaky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strokes gained, and I'm not going off last year or this year because I don't mm-hmm. know where he's played, but he played in Augusta, right. First of all, which is tough.
Yep.
You know, probably never played there, or if he did once as an AM, who knows?
First time, I think.
First time. Yep. There you go. Yep. So first time in Augusta, that really doesn't count. But if you go last year, and we'll say the thing. So he's minus 0.09 strokes gained. So he's basically an even strokes gained guy.
Yep.
On putting, which you say is 128th or whatever. I don't know where your 240th number's coming from. I'm not sure where you got that from. Okay, well, that's 2021, you mean?
Yeah,
all around the new season. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So three, four tournaments. Throw that out. So last year, 128th at 0.09. So he's not far off from being, you know, 75th, let's say.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you're right. He's 128th. Okay, I'll give you that. But you also have to go strokes gained off the tee.
Yeah.
It's top 19th. 20.
Yeah. 19th, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the most important ones, approach to the green. What is he?
Second.
First, maybe.
Thank you.
He's the second best second. Approach. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go strokes gained tee to green, he's top five.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're a top five player, you can be an okay putter.
Yep.
Now, at the end of the day, I'm sure he's looking at this, trying to improve his putting too, but if you're a top five guy, tee to green, let me tell you, you'll win. I know you have a tough time believing the guy's going to win at 120th or whatever he is, but he'll do all right.
Yeah. Well,
we're the other guy. Yeah.
It just so happens that he gained 8 strokes on the field at the PGA, and he was first in shots gained putting. Strokes gained putting, he was number one, and he won. So, I mean, when he puts, like we had said on the pod, and what you raked me over the coals for, and I owned it. Yeah. That if he putts even remotely well, like he could have been, like you said, he could have been 20th in strokes gained putting at the PGA and still would have won. So he just, when he puts it together putting, he is very difficult to beat. So,
but I will
that's the case for pretty much everybody.
Yeah, pull up Dustin Johnson's stats. Let's see.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah. I want to see how these guys, you got DJ stats there.
I'm about to have them up. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
He could have putted like any, he could have putted like me at the Masters and still won. Almost. We'll say almost.
Yeah. would have been tougher, but maybe pulls it off.
Okay. I'm getting there, boys.
Yeah. I like that Spezza jersey you got there hanging too.
Oh yeah. Signed.
Jeez.
We'll get there.
You a Stars fan, Butchie?
I am. Yeah.
They had a pretty good run.
I don't know how they did, but they sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing that they just kept on winning.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a good year. Beat a couple teams I didn't think they'd beat in Vegas, Colorado, and
no kidding.
What was the feel in the area? Was there a lot of sadness? Obviously they couldn't attend a playoff run.
You know, I don't know. It's a real, I mean, it's like the fourth sport in town, but Dallas supports winners. When the Stars get hot, they fill it up pretty quickly. So it's unfortunate for the guys, the owner and the guys around the team who obviously support it very well.
Yep.
And the owner's always spent money and, you know, it's unfortunate, but at the end of the day, I guess it's better than losing in the first round, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just for the ego and try to bring guys in.
Their other teams aren't doing so hot right now either. So
no, but still the Cowboys are everything.
Yeah.
And then the Mavs, Rangers are kind of there, and then the Stars, and you also have, you know, OU, UT, SMU. Yeah. You got a lot of full football down here.
Yeah. Okay. I got DJ up. Which one of these top 10 stats, top 20 stats you want to talk about?
Give me putting.
Putting? He's 48th.
Okay. So there you go. Number one player in the world, 48.
Yeah, last year.
You're talking 2020, not 21.
Yep, 48th. He's even worse this year.
Yeah. Well, same thing. You can't go by much. And that's coming off a major win too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to give yourself the opportunities, right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be that's the way, right? And the problem is that these guys that hit it well, they hit it well most of the time. And then the weeks they have good weeks putting, they win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I think that actually translates even to guys like ourselves. Your best rounds are when you have good putting rounds. Cause
sure.
That's where, yep. That's where you make hay. Just get it to the green and well, Harv, no.
For myself, like I always putt well, but when I can hit the ball in the fairway, then I score well.
Yeah, you're always making bogey putts.
Yeah, I make all my bogey putts from 5 to 50 feet.
But what do guys, most guys do? They go and hit balls, right? When was the last time people go to the bunker and hit bunker shots or putt? Even Harv being a good putter. You ever practice putting?
Does it count when I'm on the first green and I roll a couple before I hit my first putt?
Well, I guess that's a practice, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it's true. It, eh? And by practice putting, you mean not just warm up on the putting green, like actually practice putting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like doing something to improve your game, dropping three balls and hitting three putts and, you know, grabbing your Coors Light and then going to the next hole. That's not practice putting.
Oh, you got to put 2x4s down or whatever.
Yeah.
Putting all right. Boxes.
We got a little bit of a quiz, not a quiz, question for you, Butchie. We're looking for you to help us with the top three underrated caddies on the PGA Tour. Think you can bang three out that people might not give enough credit to, or not necessarily guys that, you know for a fact are helping their player gain strokes more than maybe people think, or is that necessarily a thing?
Yeah, I think it's a thing. I think in caddying business, a lot of times you need a good break.
Yep.
And I guess it depends on what you call underrated. Like Billy Spencer, you know, he's been on. He's due for a break. Mm-hmm. He's worked a lot of years out here.
Well, he had Kramer in a good spot 3-4
like
weeks
his
ago.
Guys right? Just haven't really played well. Yeah, it was a good week, and hopefully Kramer can keep it up. I've always liked Chad Reynolds, the guy who caddies for drawing a blank as you tell as I say that. Keegan Bradley.
Oh boy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone draws a blank on that guy.
Everyone.
Okay.
Really good. Clark's another guy really he's good. He works for Cameron Tringali, but these guys have worked for VJ before, so they've had some good success, mm-hmm. but it's really hard to say. I mean, there are good caddies who work for guys that you really haven't heard of. And they just, a lot of them are loyal and they don't want to move up. Or a lot of guys just haven't got breaks.
Right.
So it's like any business, you got to get a break.
Yeah.
That'd be terrible working for VJ just at the range all the time.
Yeah. I think he's probably toned her down a bit now, but the worst part is too that he gets these guys that live in Jacksonville, so you have to work on your off weeks.
Right.
I mean, one of the great things about caddying is you want to make sure you don't live in the same town as your player. Because then your player practices on off weeks, and who gets the call, right? Because they don't want to go out there by themselves.
Right.
Just go stand there.
That makes a lot of sense. That popped a question to my mind. How much info are like caddies sharing? Like you've been around a long time, you probably know little nuances of each course that the tour stops at. Are you sharing that information with other guys you consider buddies on the tour in the caddy network, or is once
absolutely
the tour starts, that's this is my edge to help my player to make me more money?
No, I share stuff all the time. A lot of times, you know, if a golf course like Shadow Creek, for instance, for the CJ, it didn't have, none of the sprinklers were marked. Oh. So if you go mark nine holes or you're out there walking with a couple guys doing it and someone does the back nine, you'll trade marks on sprinkler heads. You sit around Augusta sometimes and there's a pin that you quite haven't seen, but it's different, you know, and you'll ask the caddy master or you'll ask a couple guys, you know, is this bunker better than that? So you don't normally do it on courses you've been to because, you know, when you've been around it 10, 15 years, you pretty much know where to hit it and where not to hit it. But mm-hmm. if it's an open championship or it's a major where you've only been around it 4 or 5 times, a lot of times we'll share stuff or go over the yardage book real quick. And yeah, I don't have any problem sharing stuff with guys.
And do you think that's more bred from, you can share that info because it's still the player that's got to hit the shots. They still have to execute where they need to. So you're just there to help them out and improve your craft and then they need to they need to hit the shots.
But I'll get tips from guys too. You know, if somebody plays in the morning, and it's a course you haven't seen, and you see the guy in caddy dining, say, hey, you know, any tricky pins, stuff like that, where the guy will say, hey, be careful on 15 past the hole. It's really fast. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff you're going to know, but it is nice when someone's been out there and, you know, gives you a little feedback, because at the end of the day, you want to help your player too. It makes me better.
Right.
If you know stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You had mentioned the open there, with regards to European Tour. We're going to talk a little bit briefly on Dunhill. But as far as European Tour, have you and Gary, or has Gary ever talked about, you know, you see guys going overseas to play a couple of these events. Has that ever crossed his mind or your mind as far as what goes into the guys even going over there? Is it just schedule alignment? Obviously right now it's not happening, but has that ever kind of...
I think a lot of guys originally were doing it because of those tournaments in Dubai at the end of the year. And that final tournament was a big one. And you can, the majors, the world golf events all count as they double dip on both tours. Yep. So you only had to play a couple extra events. And then at the end of the year, you could go play in Dubai. But that's, you don't see many guys doing it, obviously, this year. And to Gary, no chance he would do it because he's got three kids under three.
Right.
And he's just not much of a overseas traveler guy to go play. But so the guys that do it, Patrick Reed and a few guys, they do it because they want to play in those tournaments at the end of the year.
There's no places you're angling or needling him. Come on, Gary, let's go play here because you want to go see the country or anything like that.
No, thanks. So I can do that on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, when you've been
that kind of leads into some of the news if we want to get start going that way.
Yeah.
We can start with the big one of the week, but the European Tour and the PGA Tour announced the new strategic alliance for the upcoming season. And I didn't read a bunch into it, but I imagine this is so maybe the scheduling of big tournaments is a little bit better, so the European Tour can get some of the big European names coming back and vice versa. So they don't, that's the only thing I could really take from it, but I don't know what you guys thought on it, but that's the big one of the week.
Yeah. I think the whole strategic alliance side of things is, you have access to the people that we want access to, and we want as many of our guys to be back here as they possibly can to stop taking them from our tournaments. So sometimes those are needed in order to get where you need to be. So I'm curious. I didn't really look too much into the realignment of the European Tour's events just to see how much they actually had to sacrifice to get something like this done.
I don't think they've announced that schedule yet.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see when that comes out to see how much they've had to, you know, how much they've actually had to maybe give up to have that partnership happen. But like what you said, it's really a matter of if the guy's lifestyle or if they want to go there. That's still really what's coming down to. It's about getting these guys, the European guys, back to their soil to play in these events. So we'll see.
It's a hard thing for them because most of the guys play here now full time.
Yeah.
And they've got places over here. So and then when you have a family, like Rory's just had a baby, and Poulter's got whatever he's got, two or three kids, and one's a good golfer. And so they all live over here. And I know they had those Rolex events, which were nice, were 7 or 8 million, but you know, they want to support the European Tour, but at the end of the deal, they can only play so much. They want to move up in the FedEx points here, and you can only support so many tournaments back home if they're $2, $3 million events. At the end of the day, they're trying to make a living. So, and it's a lot of travel. And guys, you know, if you don't have to travel and you can play here for $7 million every week, and then the world events, then the majors, it's hard to justify going back to Europe for 2 weeks without your family, these guys. So,
yeah,
you know, the old days when a lot of them still lived in Europe, they'd play and then come over and play a couple before the majors. But, you know, with most of the good tournaments here now, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Do you, as far as, you know, in the caddy network, do you find guys going over there lots to get their feet wet as compared to sticking around maybe Korn Ferry and other tours around here? Or what's kind of the feel in the caddy world?
Yeah. You don't see many caddies going over there. It's just too hard. It's, you know, and it's hard to get around. You'll see some European guys start over there and then come here after a few years, you know, work for different guys and then come over. But you don't see many Americans going over there to caddy. And and then coming back. I mean, guys will go to the Corn Ferry Tour. The odd guy will caddy for a buddy in Latin America or Canada.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's too difficult if you don't know Europe to get around and try to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one.
Next.
Might as well get into the European Tour tournament, the Dunhill, Alfred Dunhill Championship.
Yeah, no PGA tournament. We get to talk a little bit about Harv's European dogs running this week.
The guy that I plucked out of nowhere, just like Lanto, but this was a couple of years back. Christian Bezuidenhout took home the Leopard Trophy.
Yeah.
One of the, might be the best trophy they hand out in all of the world. Like just the gigantic leopard.
Yeah, I mean, other than the Cock Trophy at Sanderson, I'd say that this one's the second best.
It's,
I mean, major championships aside, obviously we're not poo-pooing on those, but for gimmick quality trophies, this one is the best.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously with no, with the timing of, it was in the middle of the night, but the final round was played in the morning, as many of the European Tour events are out for us here. I watched a ton of that the weekend. And again, European Tour has great courses, just a different feel to their telecasts. It's, I mean, I enjoy watching those. It's less, you know, production. It's more just golf than it is the production value of the PGA Tour, obviously. So I like a lot of that. They've been doing a lot of the graphics and stuff like that that the PGA Tour does now. They've been doing those for a couple of years now. So it's just nice to see how they're put everything together. And then obviously watching golf it doesn't matter where they're playing. It's just nice to watch it on the weekend, especially if you don't have a PGA Tour event. So,
yeah. And there was a couple big storylines going into Sunday that could have played out. This Adrian Mronk had a chance to be the first Polish born golfer to win on the European Tour.
And right.
He shot plus four on Sunday to lose. And then his playing partner that day, that Jaden Schaefer, maybe?
Yeah, was Schaefer, he 19?
19 years old, was in the hunt. He shot plus three on Sunday, and then old Bezuidenhout swooped in and shot minus four and ran away with the thing by three strokes.
Yeah, there's a guy that comes.
Harv, I think we need to send you guys a European Tour handbook here so you can pronounce some of these guys. Shoddy work on the pronunciations.
I thought I nailed his Bezuidenhout.
Oh, you got that one, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
I've been saying it for years. So
he jumped 20 places in the world ranks too, 61 to 41.
Oh yeah.
So,
and that kind of leads to the next world golf ranking rant coming up, but he's got that jump bumped Ricky down to 49th. So
yeah, Ricky has to fare well
for that top 50 Masters invite come the end of December here for old Richard Fowler.
Yeah. Ricky needs a good showing down in Mexico this week to get pretty much in. Cause he could get leapfrog out of 49 pretty easy. So,
well, yeah. And then there's still two more European Tour events with a bunch of guys who play on that tour right around 50 to 60. So
Matt Wallace is 51 right now.
Yeah,
Van Ruyen. Yeah.
McIntyre's right there. Like some good players who are probably playing that one in Abu Dhabi or Dubai in 2 weeks. So,
right.
But the rant I wanted to go on, who posted this in the group about that guy who's 250th in the world?
Yeah.
Wasn't that you?
I don't think it was me.
Yeah. So are you going to reel off his finishes?
Well, not his finishes, but I got that. It's Mikael Lindbergh. I think I got that first name pronounced right, but he's never played on the PGA, European Tour, Corn Ferry Tour, Asian Tour, Japanese Tour, or the Challenge Tour, but he's 250th in the world. Like that just don't add up in my mind.
Well, where did he finish?
Well, he's only played on the Nordic or Norwegian. What is
he's
it?
He's from Sweden.
Yeah.
He's Swedish. He's 250th in the world and he's never played on a big tour before, but he just keeps raking points on the Swedish D League tour. Like finishes first place every
year. 250. That's probably as high as he's going to go until he plays somewhere. What's the problem with that? I mean, 250 doesn't do you any good.
Want to know who's 251?
No.
Kyrdek Appy Barnrat.
Oh, the Barnrat. Really?
How is he 251?
Yeah, that's
So is that the thing?
He hasn't played well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that. There's that theory shot, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I understand. I mean, listen, the world rankings is a very tough thing because it's technically a world ranking, not a PGA Tour ranking.
Yep.
And it's very difficult, and they have to be a little careful about leaning too much on the PGA Tour. Obviously, I think the Japanese Tour, you'll see, gets a few extra points than they probably should.
Mm-hmm.
And so do some of the other tours, because you say that guy's 250th. I guarantee you there's guys on our tour that are below 250 that are probably better players than him.
Right. For sure.
That's,
but
that's where the frustration comes.
Yeah, I understand that. But at the same time, if he got to top 50 or top 100 where it mattered, then that's something. If you're 250th in the world, that's not getting you anywhere.
Kind of like the Jazz.
Janet, you're probably not getting a Canadian Tour card with that.
No.
Yeah, no, there's – well
– right.
Yeah, there's guys that are, you know, winning on the Canadian Tour that win gets them up to 650th in the world.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, the 250 is – yeah, you have to take it with a grain of salt of how they're acquiring their points. But it's kind of just fun to pick these guys out of nowhere that he hasn't even sniffed a tour and he's 250th, and just goes to show how much weight you can put on that. But again, like you say, once you get in the top 100 – those are the guys that have earned that right, and that's why they reward playing in majors and things like that by those top guys. But
now you're going to see some guys that play in Japan or
Jazz.
Some guys that do well in Europe, and there's the Jazz man. I love him. Be careful. Don't say a bad thing
lightly there, Harv.
Yeah. I had nothing against him. He is clearly gaming this system to get himself into the FedEx, into the WGC tournaments. So good on him, because those are where the money is. So.
He's been dropping pretty heavily, I'm sure. Jazzy hasn't played very well lately.
Yeah, yeah, so what's your tie to Jazz then?
So Jazz has the same agent as Gary does.
Oh, okay.
So we played overseas a few times, and I just became buddies with him, and I like the guy a lot. I think he's a great dude. Yeah, so always chat him up.
And let's get him on.
Let's get him on.
Oh, we can get him on. No problem. Yeah, we'll get him on.
Right. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Well, while you're doing that, since we're talking about getting guys on, Mike Weir's coming on episode 150. He doesn't know that yet, but he's coming on 150.
He's coming
anything he can help with that too.
Perfect.
Yeah. But we'd love to have Jazz on.
I got some questions.
Like if he knows what he's doing here or it's just luck of the draw, but he might be the smartest.
Yes, he's good. He played great over in Asia and he played good in Europe for a while. And then he came here and he struggled a bit. He's a young kid. He'll be fine.
Yep. Oh yeah, it seems to do well in that WGC HSB, the one in China or whatever it is. He plays well all the time.
Yeah, he does. He struggled a bit over here, but he's a good kid. Good head on his shoulders. Works hard. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's still pretty young, isn't he?
Very.
Yeah. So, just
I've been around forever, hasn't he?
Yeah, it seems like name's been around for a while. But
think he made his name up there at Bethpage 2-3 years ago when he was in the mix, and then played a couple good world events or something, and he stayed in that top 50 forever. He can't be in the top 50 anymore, though.
No, he's down to 76. But
you won't see him for a while.
It's been a plummet for the past month or so. But
he's only 25, so
yeah, he'll be around.
Well, they've been pro for probably 7-8 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What else do I got on here? Couple quick ones. Just the Champions Tour announced that they're having a 40 tournament schedule for next season, and notable rookies, Padraig Harrington next year, Stuart Appleby and Robert Allenby.
Oh, nice. They're the same age.
I guess.
What are the odds of that?
They always get mixed up.
They grew up together.
Yeah.
Which is it, Appleby or which you could probably clarify, is it Appleby or Allenby? Is that's the caddy killer? Isn't that his nickname?
Allenby.
Yeah.
Not Appleby. Yeah. Appleby's mellow.
Yeah, the opposite.
So those are the big three. The other next one, Korn Ferry Tour announced 23 tournament schedule for 2021. So with their wraparound season, it'll be a 46 tournament season.
Super season.
There's guys itching to play down there.
To decide the top 25 for the tour. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel. I know we kind of talked about that when COVID hit, and on that the rest of the season got canceled. Like those guys have just got to be just waiting to get back on the course. And I feel bad for them. Who knows what they've been up to, right?
Well, you've gotten a few guys that have gotten some starts out here. I mean, you got a couple, yeah. A couple of those spots have to be locked up. I mean, Will Zalatoris has got to be locked up for sure. Jaeger, yeah. There's, you know, like Zalatoris would play. I mean, he'll do well and win out here.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Taylor Pendrith.
What's he at?
I think the last time we looked, he was top 10, I thought.
Was he?
I think he's still top 10. He was top 5 going to the U.S. Open, right? So
Yeah. They made it in the U.S., but yeah, I mean, and they played one tournament since the U.S. Open, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's still probably locked in the top 10, but that guy can bomb it, and nice to see the Canucks with some success. So,
I agree. We got a lot of them out here now, which is nice, more than I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean,
and good players.
Yeah. It's good. It's good for us too. I mean, we've had all of them on the show and it's good getting to know them and to see, you know, more and more making the tour and a lot of them, you know, we talk to when they're on, you know, we talked to Pendrith was on the show when he was on the Canadian tour last year. And then now he's Korn Ferry and hopefully he's in the PGA tour. It's just nice to, Canadians in a good spot for golf. So it's nice to have a semi-pro podcast at the same time. So
is Dillette your only guy from Saskatchewan ever to play on tour?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. Well, Hadwin was born in Moose Jaw, but
yeah. Unless you want to count Hadwin, who was here for 3 days or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So
that's like Jason Kokrak was born in Manitoba.
Yeah. Right.
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is right. Was it nice to see kind of Mike Weir turn back the clock a little bit at Augusta, looking like his old self?
Yeah, I saw him a bunch too. We had the exact – he was right opposite us, same tee time. So, I mean, it's good to see. He played well in that one senior tour event, that Champions Tour.
Yeah
but for you sure. You know, he and Phil went down the stretch. I didn't see much of it, but that's great. And he's – I know he's really – he's been grinding hard with the Mark Blackburn, this guy that works with him. And, you know, Blackie said he's improving a lot, and obviously the results are showing it. So, he'll pop off a win out there.
It'll
give a little more confidence here. And
for sure.
Soon as the robot known as Bernhard maybe slows down a little bit. Jeez.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
He looks younger now than when he won the Masters in 92 or whatever it was.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and it was incredible to see. It seems like you can set your watch to him, you know, having success at the Masters. And then all of this, the whole Sunday thing, him versus Bryson, the two complete opposites. And he whacks the floor with them.
I got to say, of all the guys in golf, he's got to be – I mean, Tiger's the greatest ever, I think. But Bernhard's got to be up there in a category of just I really don't know. But, I mean, every year he's
– Yeah, like his consistency over to keep it going this long.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like Tiger's Wayne Gretzky. But, like, Bernhard's kind of like the Gordie Howe, who just played forever and was good forever and just has all those records still.
It's amazing. Oh, Harv.
That was a good
Not a bad one, Harv, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Gretz went for all these empty netters, though.
Yeah.
He was in Augusta this year.
Really?
Yeah, he was there all week.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Harv, you got anything left, or are we going to get into picks?
Well, speaking of a couple ones, I mean, Canadian Elena Sharp got married this past week.
Congrats.
So, congrats to her. John Rahm is expecting a kid.
Congrats.
Yeah. Congrats there. And then just a couple DJ stats, since we can kind of tie it all back to the whole Wayne thing. I mean, he pulled out of this week, which might have been the most obvious thing in the entire world.
Ever, maybe.
But with this win, or this past week, this is 106th week at number one in the world, tying Rory McIlroy for, I think, third most. Now he just has to stay at number one in the world for the next 11 years, and he'll tie Tiger Woods for
so, doesn't seem like it's that difficult.
I mean, he's trending the right direction right now, but
yeah.
Putting some distance between himself and second for a change. And then the other interesting stat I found on him, he won 34% of the money that was dished out in 2020.
In tournaments he played it.
In tournaments he played it.
So
there's only been
that's
five,
pretty good.
There's only been five people ever who have won more than 34% in a given year. Tiger did it 11 times.
Singh.
Any other guesses?
Hang on. Give me this stat again. He won 34% of the money
in the tournaments he played in.
In the tournaments.
That's impossible. It's impossible. You can only win 18% for first.
Yeah, the stat was of the money handed out in the tournaments that he played in. He won 36%. I'm not sure. That's just the stat.
No chance. That's just that. You have to finish first and second every week.
Well, maybe it's not one.
I love
Gucci. Maybe it's just all the tournaments. Maybe it's just all the tournaments. I don't know. Because the big stat here is that in 2000, Tiger Woods won 63% of the money handed out.
I'm going to find it because I had the exact same thought as Butchie when I heard this. So I had to like look at how they came up with the metric.
I sent you the article.
I know. I'm going back to look at the article that I read.
Maybe it's the amount of money that he could have won.
Yeah, maybe that he could have won.
30% of what he could have won.
I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. So like,
maybe. I didn't read the article. I just wrote the
in stats. In the tournament he plays in, every tournament he plays in, he could win $2 million or 1.8 or 1.2. Of that total, he won 36% of it.
Right. Not 32% of the entire purse.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Of what he was eligible to make, of first place.
Him personally, not the tournament.
Okay.
Because, yes, you're right.
34% of what? Yeah. Okay, so that's legit. That's possible.
Where the stat comes in is that only five people have won more than Dustin Johnson did this year in that regard.
Yeah, and it goes to show in Tiger Woods in 2000 won 63% of the money that he could have possibly won.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And who were the other ones? We got Vijay.
Yep.
Did JT that one year he won a bunch? No.
Vijay, Tiger, obviously. Rory.
Phil sneak in there?
No. Tiger again, probably. Probably
well, Tiger 11 times. Tiger 11 times. Spieth and Tom Watson.
Those are the top five. Like Tiger did it 11 times for the year in which he played, the highest amount percentage. Yeah. But the top five ever were those five, which is crazy that Tiger has 11. He has 11, but he has one and then six or one and then something, which is kind of odd. You would think with 11 shots at it, he'd be much higher, but it is what it is.
So give me that one again. 63% in what year?
2000.
Yeah, that was the special year.
Because second place, that means he would have to come. Okay, I'm gonna check that one out. I'll be back on that one.
I'll be back on. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what the majors. So
he probably only played so many times.
But he's still got to finish first, second, or basically third every week. He must have had a tenth somewhere.
Yeah, but even in the tenth for all the 100% that he won, that's where it offsets. Because every major, every win is 100%.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Check that math.
Yeah, good math. Saskatchewan math.
All right, let's
gonna remember not to write down stats anymore.
Yeah, we can't bring stats to this guy.
Without reading what the actual stat is.
Yeah.
I just found it interesting. I saw 34% of the money, and I thought that was neat. So
we're not all about
fact-checking here.
I want to hear Harv do some European Tour guys' stats.
Yeah. The only downfall to this for the listeners, the only bad part about this is we had to turn Butchie's video off, so we can't now he can just roll his eyes and do whatever he wants because we can't see him. So
we'll turn it off.
To be a hockey agent, you could have a guy, you could have a fourth liner with 95 points in about 40 games.
Hey, as long as I get $10 million deals for fourth liners. As long as I'm getting my cut, they can make whatever they want. But yeah, that's all I have.
All right. Well, let's get into picks for Mayakoba. And we're going to put you on, obviously, Butchie, you got to make three picks. So hopefully you can find some guys that you got your eye on early on this week. But
all right.
So Harvey, you got pick recap or do we do one?
We did the pick recap last week.
Okay.
I won. So I picked first.
All right.
You want to talk about this tournament at all? Another good trophy.
We should.
Yeah, well, we got to get some insight as to what the course looks like from the guy that's there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I've yet to be at the golf course because okay. I don't have my results. So you guys probably know as much as I do. All right. I do know it's going to rain a lot this week, and this time of year it plays much softer. We used to play it early in the year. It was firm and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get these afternoon storms, and I think when I looked the other day, it was like 80% Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So you just get these big showers that roll through, so the course is going to be soft.
Okay.
So that's fine. You guys give me your picks, and then I'll go last.
Okay.
Well, let's do the Canadians, and I got a – The previous five winners is kind of an interesting stat here. The previous five winners are Brendan Todd, Kuchar, Wilson, Gay, and Fred Funk. So make of that whatever you want. Kind of a weird set of winners there.
Yeah, that's a, as Harv would say, a dog's breakfast.
Yeah.
I will give you guys a tip. You need to hit the ball. Well, it's more of guys that drive it well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Accurately.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Gay. Yeah, because if you miss fairways here, it's shrubs and bushes, and it's you got to hit it straight here.
Okay.
This is the one with that weird bunker in the middle of the fairway, right? Like the
cave. Deep one.
Yeah, the cave. Is anyone ever going the cave. There? Is that even in play?
You know what? It hasn't been in play when it's soft. The year it was firm, you could get it there. You'd have to hit three wood sometimes short, but yeah, somebody I know a few guys that have said they've been in there before. I don't think you're going to get there now. I think it's like 340 or something.
Gotcha.
It with soft fairways, you know, it's not many guys are getting it there.
Yeah.
If any.
Okay. All right, Harvey, first.
All right. We had five Canadians, but now we have six. So we had Connors, Gliggs, Hadwin, Hurd, and Sloan. Drew Nesbitt Monday queued today with a 66 to get nice. In. There was actually three lefties that Monday queued today, and they all turned pro as teenagers, thanks to our guy at Monday Queue Twitter. Drew Nesbitt, Akshay Bhatia, and Isidiro Benitez all turned pro out of high school, all lefties.
You're the pronunciation guy here for sure.
Neat.
That's an interesting decision to go down there to Monday Queue. I mean, obviously, it'd probably be maybe a trip if you don't, but for Nesbitt to go down there Monday Queue, like I haven't seen Nesbitt playing in Monday Queues for a while. So it was an interesting
A lot of choice. Times guys will be, there won't be many guys in the qualifier, and I don't know Nesbitt, but he probably hangs out down in Florida, and it's not that far. Hour and a half flight from Orlando. So, and it's a good, and they don't have anything to play in anyways. So, you know, if you've got the money, you fly down, try to Monday qualify, and it's, what did it take to get in today? You know?
66.
Okay, so I mean, it all depends, I guess, on the golf course, but
which is pretty high or normally.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I would think not many guys would come down to this, so it'd be one of the easier ones. I mean, I guess
there was a 9-for-1 playoff for I think at 67 to get in, but
okay.
Wow, 66 got you in easy, hey? Not even a playoff.
Yeah. Nesbitt has to work on that shirt tan, anyways.
Yeah,
hit up the beach for a couple days here.
Yep. Are you ready for picks then?
Sure.
I got, after Butchie's comment, I got mine.
I will go first. I am going to go off the board a little bit here and take Justin Thomas.
Okay.
Am I second? No.
I think I'm second. Nah. I'm second. I'm going to go with Abe Anser. Guy can find fairways.
I mean, he's playing in his
local guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That helps. I got to go with the guy that I should have took at the RSM, Harris English, won here in 2013, three top tens already this season, T6 at the RSM. So,
okay.
So do I have to take somebody you guys haven't taken or can you double up?
You can double up.
We'll bend the rules for you. Yep.
Well, no, just give me the real rules. That's fine. I got lots of guys.
Okay. Yeah. You can't double up, but we'll go in order then. You can, normally the three of us would go and you can pick whoever you want, but if we're not doubling up, you get to go next.
Okay. I'm going Pat Perez.
Nice.
Bit of a sleeper. Okay. Always plays well here. Oh, PP loves this place. Always plays well.
Love it.
So that's my sleeper.
Okay.
Here's Marv. One. Who's the last guy you think I would pick?
Ricky Fowler.
I'm picking Ricky.
No! Fowler. I was picking him next. Rick.
He's backs against the wall. He needs this tournament more than anything. Like, he needs to stay inside the top 50.
Yeah, I was taking him next.
Yeah, pressure's on.
That is, I like that. I think he is going to do well this week. I'm going to take this guy. He's kind of come up before. His name's Gary Woodland.
Damn it. I was going to take him.
Okay. So I got Gary.
Okay. I'm going with the Canuck. Good recent form. Perfect match for this course. Corey Connors.
Boy.
Ball striker.
I should have been picking there. Okay. I am going with former boss of mine, Camilo Villegas. Coming nice. Off a big win. Nice. Yeah, coming off a win. Loves these loves it down here. You know, fits in with all the Spanish speaking. He's gonna be comfortable. I'm gonna he needs a good break. You know, he's due, so I'm going with him.
Awesome.
Okay. Absolutely.
That's and now I get one more. Hang on. We can't keep going first back to Harv there.
Want snake draft. I like it.
Snake draft.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, come on. I can't pick last every time.
Well, okay.
Who else is – I don't know what other big names are in this. I'm not going with a big name, actually. I'm going to go – I'm looking through the field here, so just give me a second. It's got to be another sleeper.
Yeah, because the last
– I can't take Gary or Brooks. You've already got Harris English, right? That's a good pick.
Yeah, Berger and Fina. I'm going to go with there.
Carlos Ortiz.
Nice.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Not too far removed from his victory either. Last tournament he played in.
No. I think Abe's the call this week.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, Abe answer. But I'll take Carlos because like we can't double up.
Okay.
So are we snacking all the way back?
No, we can go back, Arf. Yep.
Oh, you're up, Arf.
Okay. Alec Ogletree.
Nice.
Oh. Okay.
First pro tournament as a pro.
There you go.
As opposed to first amateur tournament as a pro? First pro tournament as a pro.
Okay. First tournament as right. a pro, not there as an go. Amateur. There
I love go. How Harv's getting picked on tonight.
I love it. Best. Absolutely love it. He was the low amateur at the Masters?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm going to – last pick, I'll take Daniel Berger.
Ooh.
Love Boog.
Yeah,
good that's call.
Three pretty good picks you got there.
Yeah. Audit might be coming, but we'll see.
Close enough.
Who do you have?
Answer Woodland and Connors.
No, he's got Answer Woodland and Berger. They're all in the top 50.
Oh,
change it.
Okay, fine. I thought I could misdirect.
I'll make my last pick first.
I'm taking Will Zalatoris.
Okay.
Oh, who?
Zalatoris.
Thanks. There you go.
There you go.
Is that the proper pronunciation?
Zalatoris.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm taking our only other three-time guest, Roger Sloan. Top 30s in his last three tourneys.
Nice. Yep. Yeah, Butchie, you and Roger are the only three-time guests, both co-hosts.
Perfect. Love Sloan.
Yeah, he's a beauty. Yeah, we walked Hamilton with him. The practice round at RBC 2 years ago. So hopefully we can get back there this year. Hopefully fans will be there because that was a blast.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah. So any parting thoughts from the guest host?
Well, do we want Randy's picks or?
Oh, right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the last picks, Butchie, are this guy uses an algorithm to randomly pick three numbers and then we allow him to pick each week. So
who's he got?
Who's he got? Let's find out.
Well, he's got some good picks this week. The algorithm didn't do him dirty this time. Put it in, spit out 39-86, 106, 39 Fabian Gomez, 86 Carlos Ortiz,
yep,
and 106 Kevin Streelman.
Good pick, too. Good pick.
Streelman's around that 50 number, too. He needs a.
And he's kind of on the back nine of his career, where just the last five winners seem to have been.
Ah, I like great. That.
Oh.
But not this
good week. Algorithm. Good algorithm.
Yeah. Guys got
not
it.
Not this week.
Yeah.
Is the all algorithm right. beating you guys on the year?
No.
He's beating one of us.
Sorry. He's not beating those guys. He's definitely beating me. My name's on the trophy.
Stats guy?
Yeah. He's beating the stats guy. It's that damn can't pick three guys in the top 50 that seems to be screwing me each week.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps it up for this week. So, thanks for joining us. Good luck this week, and we look forward to following you. And until next time, it's time for us to hit the clubhouse.
Staring out into the wild blue yonder, so many thoughts to sit and ponder about life, love, and the lack of, and this emptiness in my heart. Too old to be wild and free still, too young to be over the hill shoot, trying to grow up, but who knows where to start. So I just sit right here and have another beer in Mexico, do my best to waste another day.